Grievardari Vishnupad Brahmahang Suparvadakasharya Asadhara Sadushi Sriman His Divine Grace Lacey Bhaktivedanta Swamiraj Srila Prabhupada Kijai Gaur Premanande Haribo All glories to the Assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. Mom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste, Sarasutundeve, Gauravani Vicharne, Nirvishesha, Srinivadi, Paskatyade, Satarne.
You're about to say it in Spanish?
Yes. Puedo dar la clase en español si quieres. Mujer, bitch, Popolsko. Om Agana Timanandasya Ganantana Salakaya Chaktura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurvena Maha Shri Chaitanyamino Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhotale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Tadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vitam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Prishubhana Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha Patitanam Vavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitinanda Shedvaiti Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 11 Chapter 20 Pure Devotional Service and something about the relationship with surpasses knowledge and detachment text number 2 Varnashrama Vikalpam Cha Pratiloma Anuloma Jam Dravya Desha Vayakalan Sargam Narakam Evacha Varnashrama Vikalpam Cha Pratiloma Anuloma Jam Dravadesha Vayakalam Swargam Narakam Evacha Varnashrama Vikalpam Cha Loma Anuloma Jam Dravadesha Vayakalam Svargam Narakam Eva Cha Varnashrama Vikalpam Cha Pratiloma Anuloma Jam Dravyadesha Vayakalam Svargam Narakam Eva Cha Ladies. Nashama Vikalpam Cha Pratiloma Anuloma Jam Dravyadesha Vayakalan Svargam Narakam Eva Cha Varnashrama of the Varna Ashram system. Vikalpam, the variety of superior and inferior positions created by piety and sin. Cha and Pratiloma, birth in a mixed family wherein the father is inferior in social status to the mother. Anuloma Jam, birth in a mixed family in which the father is superior in social status to the mother. Dravya, material objects or possessions. Desha, the place. Vaya, one's age. Kalan, the time. Svargam, heaven. Narakam, hell. Eva, indeed. Cha, also. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to Vedic literature, translation purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. According to the Vedic literature, the superior and inferior varieties found in human social system, Varnashram, are due to pious and sinful modes of family planning. Thus, piety and sin are constant points of reference in the Vedic analysis of the components of a given situation, namely the material ingredients, place, age, and time. Indeed, the Vedas reveal the existence of material heaven and hell, which is certainly based on piety and sin. So did anyone understand anything from that? Because if, to talk about piety and sin, itself is sinful. Anyhow, let's read this again. According to the Vedic literature, well, repeat, please repeat. According to Vedic literature, the superior and inferior varieties found in the human social system or an ashram are due to pious and sinful modes of family planning. As piety and sin are constant points of reference in the Vedic analysis of the components of a given situation, namely the material ingredients, place, age, and time. Indeed, the Vedas reveal the existence of material heaven and hell, which is certainly based on piety and sin. Purport, Pratiloma indicates the combination of a superior woman with an inferior man. For example, the Vaidehaka community consists of those born of a Shudra father and a Brahmana mother, whereas the Sutas are those born from a Kshatriya father and a Brahmin mother, or from a Shudra father and a Kshatriya mother. Anuloma indicates those born from a superior father and inferior mother. The more Davasikta are those born of a Brahmin father and a Kshatriya mother. And Bastas are those who are born from a Brahmin father and a Vaishya mother. And those, they often become medical men. Karna indicates those born of a Vaishya father and a Shudra mother, or of a Kshatriya father and a Vaishya mother. That such mixing of caste is not very much, appreciated in the Veda culture is demonstrated in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is very worried that the death of so many Kshatriyas on the battlefield would lead to the mixing of superior women with inferior men. And on those grounds, he objected to fighting. In any case, the entire Vedic social system is based on distinguishing between piety and sin. And Sri Uddhava is encouraging the Lord to explain more elaborately his statement that one should transcend both piety and sin. Varnashrama vikalpam cha pratiloma nuloma jam dravyadesha vayakalan Svargam narakam evacha. According to Vedic literature, is the superior and inferior material varieties found in the human social system, vanashram, are due to pious and sinful modes of family planning. This piety and sin are constant points of reference in the Vedic analysis of the components of a given situation, namely the material ingredients, place, age, and time. Indeed, the Vedas reveal the existence of material heaven and hell, which is certainly based on piety and sin. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskatyade Satarane. There are two verses that are repeated twice in the Bhagavad Gita. One of them is Shreyam Swadamo Viguna Paradharma Sunusitat Shre Dharme Dindidam Shreyak Paradharmo Bhayavaha. That it's better, Shreya means to be better, it's better to perform one's own prescribed duties, although they may be performed imperfectly, than to perform someone else's duty. Destruction, the cause of one's own duties, is better, because to follow someone else's path is dangerous. That's right. And then, Manmana Bhava Madhvakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mamai Vaishasi Satyam Te Prati Jani Priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. The result is that you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. So the question is, out of 10 billion verses in the Vedas, they're all summarized in the Bhagavad Gita, which is only 700 verses. So that's quite a condensation. And out of the 700 verses, there's only two that are repeated. Two are actually repeated twice, so they must have some significance. Obviously, that we understand why Krishna said in the ninth chapter, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto, Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru, Mamai Vaishasi Yuktaivam Atmana Mat Parayanaha, which is the same thing as Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto, Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru, Mamai Vaishasi Satyam Te Prati Jani Priyosi Me. Always think of me, become my devotee. Offer your homage unto me and worship me. The result is you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. Obviously, that's the essence of the Bhagavad Gita in one sense. But why did Krishna repeat twice? Well, one reason, Shreyan Svadhamo Viguna Paradharma Sunustitak Shreyadame Nidinam Shreyak Paradharma Bhayavaha. Why did he repeat that twice? Well, for one reason is that he repeated in the summary, the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, which is the summary of the Bhagavad Gita, but because he specifically mentioned this verse, beginning with Shreyam Svadhamo Viguna Paradharma Sunustita, it must have some special significance. So the significance, part of the significance, is that everyone is born with a material body. I think we've noticed that. Except there may be some more subtle living entities, but they also have a subtle material body. And the body is, by nature, meant to do something. Krishna says, Nahi kaschit shenam api jatu tis jati karma krit karyate yavasha karma sara prakriti jaraganat. That all living entities are forced to act helplessly according to the modes of material nature that they required. And therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. So as we probably notice, our body is always doing something. Even for a moment, it's doing something. Even if it's deep in sleep, it's deep in sleep. It's doing something. Now the question is what we're supposed to do. Most people don't even think about the fact that the body is actually meant for something. They think that the body is meant for sense gratification. There is no other thought. Chintyam apareyam cha pralayantam upashitya kama papoga paramam etavam edanischita asha pashish terabhada kama krota parayana ihanti kama bogarda anyenartha sanchaya. They believe that to gratify the senses unto the end of life is a prime necessity of human civilization. And this, therefore there's no measurement for their anxiety. Being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. People don't see anything beyond that. They say that there's nothing beyond that. Even they study the Vedas. According to Bhagavad Gita, Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham, Prabhavanya Vipashita, Veda Vatarata Parata, Nanyam Astiti Vadina, Karmatvaka Swargapura, Janma Karmapula Pradam, Kriya Visheshu Vayulam, Ogaishvarya Katim Kati. Those who are Veda Vataratas, those who study the Vedas, they believe that the purpose of the Vedas is elevation to heavenly planets, resulting good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification, opulent life, they say that there's nothing beyond that. In other words, the fact that there could be liberation for the soul would depend upon people understanding that there was a soul and that the aim of the soul in this human form of life is liberation from the material concept of life. Instead, people are not satisfied being the material concept of life, because no one could be satisfied in the material world but they think the solution to their dissatisfaction is to increase their material involvement. They think they don't have enough attachments. They don't have enough aversions. They don't have enough false ego. They want to increase their false ego. Therefore, they want to feed the false ego. Janmaishvarya, Shruta, Shribir, Edamanak, Madakpuman, Naivahat, Yavadatum, Vai, Twam, Akinchin, Agochara. And Janma, nowadays, of course, if you're born in a princely royal family, in some places you may get some credit, but not so much in America. People couldn't care less. I mean, they may care less, but they don't care that much if you're a so-called prince. Because everyone thinks you're a king here. You're just an ordinary prince, but I'm a king. Or a queen, or whatever. So, Janma, taking birth in a high family. Aishvarya, wealth. That's what really counts. Money, money sweeter than honey, Prahlad Maharaj said. Professional soldier, a merchant, and a thief. They'll risk their very lives to get money because it's sweeter than honey. Because it can buy sense gratification. And that's what people are generally interested in, is sense gratification. They don't have any other, there's no question of dharma in this age. There are laws of nature. They don't take into account the family before they get married, as it says here. Because everyone is a shudra by birth. Went to Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura. I'm not criticizing anyone, but Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura was saying, everyone by shudra is by birth a shudra, and by modern education they become less than an animal. So, there is no dharma. They're not taught the difference between matter and spirit, or even the different types of bodies that are possible, and the duties that are prescribed for them. Chatura vanyamayasri stam guna karma vibhagashaha tasyakartaram apimam vidyakartaram avyam. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, then the four corresponding orders of human civilization are come into being. And although I am the doer, although I am the creator of the system, I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. So there are actually different kinds of bodies. Nowadays, human civilization has become so bewildered, they actually are trying to deny that there's even a difference between a male body and a female body. To such an extent, they're trying to give males operations so they can give birth to children, make them equal to the ladies. So what to speak of the fact that someone could be a Kshatriya, someone could be a Brahmin, someone could be a Vaishya or a Shudra, or outside the Varnashram system. Namely because, practically speaking, everyone's outside the Varnashram system, and they've lost all their intelligence, so there's no discrimination. Before people get married, they don't check their gotras in the Western world to find out whether they're going to match. And even the devotees check their charts, but they don't really care. They usually check it after they fell in love, just to confirm that that was made in heaven. Although Prabhupada said, one of the kutas, more or less according to your birth, the nakshatra that your moon's born in, he mentions that there's one of the kutas out of many of them, they're called guna. And so, actually, the kutas really work, but people just don't even bother with them. For different reasons. One is that we don't live in extended families anymore. The other is that people couldn't care less. They're in love. So everything's going to work out for at least a couple of months. And so the guna means there's manusha, there's Rakshasha, and then there's Deva. Actually, the order is generally Deva, Manusha, and Rakshasha. And when if a deva marries a rakshasa, especially if the deva is a woman and the rakshasa is a man, it's not going to work very well. So this is the idea of pratiloma, anuloma. And generally, because there's a different nature, there's a different inert desire, different goals of life. Because nowadays it appears that everyone's a rakshasa, so maybe it doesn't make any difference. But previously there's more distinction. And even if one is apparently a rakshasa, it's probably due to bad association, acting as a, but inner nature may be more of a deva or a manusha quality. And if they get into the proper association, that just naturally comes out. So these things actually make some difference. There are different bodies and mentalities in the material world, and certain bodies and mentalities actually are more compatible. Okay? They're more compatible with each other. Others are less compatible, and therefore it's quite a struggle. Because people don't struggle nowadays, because they're not interested in struggle. They're interested in sense gratification. And as soon as there is some obstacle for their sense gratification, immediately there's divorce nowadays. And it doesn't take very much to get divorced. There's no real obstacle. Just fly to Las Vegas and say, I don't like the way he looks, and there's a divorce on that basis. But if you must, and therefore, what there's no one even knows if it's pratiloma, anuloma, or it's whatever. They have no idea. It's just such a mixture. And therefore, people actually have no idea what their duty is. They think their duty is to make money and enjoy sense gratification, which is more or less what the animals, they don't make money. They gather nuts for the winter, which is probably more practical than making money. At least they have something to eat. But they gather the nuts, not to make a nut house, but to eat the nuts during the winter. So they're into economic development for sense gratification. And if that's all the human beings are into, or are desirous of, then they're on the same level as the animals. Except that the animals, at least they regulate their sense gratification. We don't find squirrels going out hunting, you know, cats on the weekend and gathering nuts during the weekday. They stick to their prescribed duties, more or less described by the material nature. The human beings are so degraded, even if they have enough nuts at house in the house, they go out and they just kill things unnecessarily. Even they destroy whole countries just to get a few more nuts that they're not even going to eat. But there's actually duties, but people are not going to be able to understand. So our duties calls for dharma, and tasmat shastram pramanam te kari. Oh, Krishna says before that, which is significant. He says, Trivida narakasya dam dwaram nashitam atmanaha kama krodha tata lovas tasmat etam triyam chajet. That there are three gates leading to hell, lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should become free from these three gates because they lead to the degradation of the self. So unless one understands that, then the whole life is wasted. The whole human form of life is wasted. If one actually believes that lust, anger, greed, they're good. They're actually supposed to be cultivated. What to speak of? Regulated. They're actually supposed to be cultivated. If people are not lusty nowadays, then they go to the doctor and get some chemicals. Vairagya or something. Vairagya means tiger in Sanskrit. They get vairagya or have an operation so that their lust can increase. They become disturbed. Oh, I'm not lusty anymore. Please save me. And of course, the more lusty you are, then the more you become greedy. And people are not ashamed of being greedy. They actually are glorified for their greed. Here's a man, he has, you know, $1 billion. and he becomes a hero in society. What is he doing with it? He's using it to cheat more people to get his second $1 billion. And yet he's considered a great hero. Although he's a menace to society, what he's doing. But people are so fooled that they laud them, they praise them, and they even, they become the controllers of human society. And what to speak of anger? After greed means that anyone who dares defy my greed, my desire to fulfill my lust, I become angry, and by my resources, I use it to destroy others. I create horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. The richest man and one of the richest men, when he was giving a conference about how the world is overpopulated and the means of taking care of it, one of the ways he said which would reduce the population was giving people vaccines. And he's the main supporter of vaccines because the vaccines are full of poisons. So you take vaccines, they kill you. So that's good because then you die and you're one less eater, person to feed, eat, useless eater. So here's a man who's claiming sometimes they're giving vaccines to save children in Africa, but actually the vaccines are killing the little kids. But he's good because they're supposed to die. Then that's the best thing they can do because they won't create problems for everyone else, for him. So they create horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. They're full of anger and greed and lust, and they're considered to be the heroes, the Mahajans in modern society. And people go to college, become educated in business nowadays, so they can actually become just like them. Or they become computer scientists so they can make a better mousetrap. So they can facilitate people's lust, anger, and greed. So they don't have to earn anything. They just sit there and rig the stock market, steal everyone's money that way. Or get on the board of the federal bank. And just rig the whole monetary system so that people work hard and give all the money to a few people. And they consider that progress. So, Krishna says, Trivida Narakasyadam. What's the problem? The problem is it covers the self so that one can't understand that he's actually a spiritual soul and the purpose of life is liberation. Therefore, Krishna says that tanin pi karma tan etan videra etan vimukta kondiya tumo dvara srivira nara acharakyamana shayas tatoyati paramgati. Anyone who can give up these three gates, performs acts which are conducive to self-realization, thus he attains the transcendental destination. All right, we don't want to give it up, so what's the harm? We're going to enjoy in the material world, although it may be temporary, but we're having a good time. But Krishna doesn't agree, because people don't agree with Krishna, and Krishna doesn't agree with them. Krishna is not into a popularity contest. He's not running for office. So he says a lot of things people don't agree with. But it's not that we're supposed to change the book, so everyone thinks, oh, Krishna, he said that, but he didn't really mean it. He's actually in agreement. He's in harmony with everyone. So demons are good, the devotees are good, everyone's good, We don't want to criticize anyone. No, Krishna says, Yakshastra vidim utsrija vartate kama karata asasidim avatnoti nasukam na param gatim. That anyone who doesn't follow Shastra, one who gives up Shastra and acts according to lust, anger, and greed, attains neither peace or perfection or the supreme destination. Well, here Krishna is introducing Shastra. Scripture, there's such a thing as scripture. People think this is really far out. they actually believe in Scripture. Their Scripture probably tells us the earth is flat too. We're going to fall off when we sail out. But then again, you read their Scripture, it's pretty far out. There's four-headed men flying around on swans. People with three eyes and snakes in their half moon. Half the moon is in their hair. So this is the kind of, they actually believe in Scripture. So, my God. Or their God. I don't have a God. But Krishna says, if you give up Shastra, real Shastra, which is based upon the fact that we're not this body and that there's a God, then you can have neither peace nor happiness nor the supreme perfection. Therefore, tasma shastram pramanam te karya karya virvastita gyatva shastram vinanokta karma kartam viharasi. Once you know what is duty and what is not duty by the direction of shastra, and knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that one can gradually become elevated. Elevated doesn't mean get a bonus pay for Christmas. No, it means become elevated in consciousness to realize more clearly that we're actually eternal souls and that we have a relation with Krishna, with God. That's elevation. But if people don't, so therefore, what's the point? Shreyan Swadhamu Biguna. We should know what the body that we have is, and we should perform the duty which is appropriate to that body so that we don't become bewildered. Now, why would we become, why are people bewildered? Yes, people are bewildered. They're making, so-called making money, but they have no idea who they are. Therefore, instead of protecting the cows, there's no shudras, everyone's disobedient. Because there's no higher classes, first of all, to be obedient to. So we start with the Brahmins. There's no Brahmins. There's no one, hardly anyone's interested in Brahman, in liberation of the self from the material concept of life. No one's working towards that. There were the so-called educated people in the society are educated to make algorithms so that you put money in the bank and it disappears. That's what they're educated for. You think your money is increasing, but actually is every day is decreasing. So there's a few vaishyas, few people with some intelligence, they had to cheat people. And everyone else is a shudra, being cheated. So this is the so-called Brahmins. Little intelligence, how to cheat people. Tell everyone that there's black holes. You better watch out. We may throw you into one. You don't believe us. That everything came out of nothing. And if you take the wrong turn on the highway, you may wind up in a black hole and become nothing again. And there's some kshatriyas, so-called kshatriyas. The kshatriyas are simply passing laws. They have no personal power. If there's a war going on, they're 2 miles underneath the ground watching it on video, pushing the buttons. Sending robots out to fight because no one else will fight. And their whole idea is to protect the vaishyas, so-called vaishyas, help them make more money, pass laws so that all kinds of sinful activity is legal and all pious activity is illegal. As I mentioned before, during the Mardi Gras in New Orleans 1 year, then there is Mardi Gras, of course, as you probably know, means for a week, millions of people are on the street butchering animals, having barbecues right on the street, having illicit sex on the street, music is so loud that your brain can't even think anymore. Rock music. Everyone's intoxicated for a week, screaming, having fights and beating on each other. So the devotees, out of compassion, they went out to do Harinam. They're in the Mardi Gras. And as soon as they got out and started to chant, the police came and arrested them. Put them in jail for a week, over the weekend, charged them with disturbing the peace. So these are the Kshatriyas. Making sure that people go to hell as quickly as possible. There's no one interferes by polluting their minds with thoughts of God or even piety or restraining themselves from sense gratification. And the Vaishyas, instead of protecting the animals, their whole business is slaughtering them. Practically all the modern society is based upon slaughtering animals. Practically every cloth we have, everything we eat, everything most people eat at least, has some animal, part of an animal in it. And there's no Shudras, they're just people that have no higher purpose of life. They're not serving any higher people. They're just trying to get money to enjoy sense gratification. So we have a bunch of Mudhas, Naradamas, Maya Pritigyanas, and Asam and Bhavamashvityas. That's the society. Therefore, there's no question of Varna and Ashram when you don't have anyone who's eligible to participate, what to speak of interested in participating at the present moment. And therefore, Prabhupada didn't emphasize Varna Ashram Dharma that much. In the present ISKCON, although he did indicate that in the future, if our preaching is successful, then we might have a few eligible people to participate in the Varnashram system, and therefore the devotees may engage in such a system in order to show the example for others what they can do. So there's two kinds of Swadharmas. There's one which is according to our psychophysical nature, and then there's the other according to the spiritual system of disciplinary succession, engagement according to the orders of Krishna, coming down into simple succession. So Prabhupada emphasized the orders coming down in disciple succession, but he also understood that in the future people may be able to discriminate and engage in things like protecting cows and growing proper agricultural products, Kshatriyas performing sacrifices, and Brahmins actually teaching people towards what the path towards liberation is, and actually doing the sacrifices in order to help people progress materially and spiritually. So that's certainly possible in the future, but without the Hare Krishna, without the Sankirtan movement teaching people that Krishna is God, that you have to chant Hare Krishna in this age, because that's the only process that's going to purify people in this age. It's chanting Hare Krishna offenselessly. So unless there's a Sankirtan movement where whatever our willingness and ability and resources are, we engage them in the Sankirtan movement, then we may not be perfect Brahmins or Kshatriyas or Vaishyas or Shudras. We may not even know what we are. But whatever our propensity is or whatever we're willing to do, we engage them in the Sankirtan movement. Then we'll develop a taste for the holy name and for hearing and chanting about Krishna. Then we'll actually be able to do something effective. If we actually have a taste of the holy name and for hearing and chanting about Krishna, we might become inspired to get other people to chant Hare Krishna and get a taste for service to Krishna. In that regard, then people will be interested. At least, what can I do with my material life in order to get food? In order to have a little peace? Unless there's real Kshatriyas, no one can be peaceful. Unless there's Brahmins, no one can have a proper goal in life. No one can see actually what's going on. or how to achieve a higher status of life. And unless there's real vaishyas, then no one can live happily. Proper food can't be there. Proper, even the atmosphere can't be there. Protection of the water, protection of the air. Someone has to make sure that by the economic development, these things are protected. And unless there's real shudras to assist in the production of food grains and maintaining the society in a peaceful state of mind, in order to actually assist those who are engaged in higher and teaching the real philosophies of life, then society can't go forward. Matter of fact, we can see where it's going, and it's definitely not forward in terms of the Vedic conception of life. Yes, there's a new iPhone every year. Yes, the speed is going quicker, and people are going slower. Their brains are slower, and their devices are quicker. And they think that's progress. Now, you go to school, I'm sure most of the children, they can't even add two numbers together. They need their iPhone or some smartphone. So the phones have become smart and the people have become stupid. They've done some scientific testing and they found out that when people have their iPhone on their desk, they actually become stupider. They can't solve the problems as quickly. And when the iPhone is removed, when the phones are removed, the so-called smartphones, people become more intelligent. In a material sense, at least. The conclusion is that our psychophysical nature does matter in the sense that if we were actually, we should know what we're supposed to do. Well, first of all, we should know that there are modes of material nature, and that they are influencing us, and therefore we'll have a natural propensity to do a certain type of occupation. But for now, that occupation should be utilized in Krishna service. Those who are probably most understanding of this will be most likely to utilize their propensities in Krishna service. People are reading Prabhupada's books or any other books are very unlikely to start a Varnashram system independent of the Sankirtan movement. And even previously, Varnashram was Daivi Varnashram, was based at least upon worship of Krishna. Even if it wasn't the Sankirtan movement, it was a movement where people, it was a society where people centered their lives around the deity in the temple, in Dwarapa Yuga, around sacrifice in Treta Yuga, and around meditation in Satya Yuga. So it's always Yajna by Vishnu, even in Varnashram, especially in Varnashram. Otherwise, it's Asura Varnashram. So without, the most likely thing is that the Hare Krishna movement in the future might establish Varnashram, but right now we have to establish the Sankirtan movement. And whatever propensities people have, engage them in convincing people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, something simple like that. Then, gradually in the future, then when all these other technical things that Krishna is talking about will become more applicable and usable within society, then it'll actually become more meaningful so that people in general will be able to understand more clearly the value of the chanting of Hare Krishna and the value of the Sankirtan movement. At least their children will be. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Moment of silence for those who aren't in the class. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande Hari Bol.